Hello, I'm Melissa, editor of the European Melamine Report at ICIS, and I'm joined by Dennis and Joson, who cover the US and Asia markets. We're also joined by some special guests to learn a bit more about what's happening in ammonia and urea from Richard and Deepka. So, to start with, let's look at Europe. So for melamine in Q1, we've seen price increases of around triple digits of varying amounts due to less supply in Q4 2020, cost pressure, and also some solid demand. So suppliers have been striving to recover margin positions and return to pre-pandemic levels. The market was on a two-year downtrend, but seller fortunes changed in Q4, and we also saw spot prices increasing since November. So as melamine is a base chemical produced by ammonia and urea, we thought it'd be interesting to look at these markets as they've been heating up recently. So Richard, thanks for joining. And as our resident ammonia expert, we were wondering if you could tell us a little bit about why prices have taken off.
Thanks, Melissa. Well, you mentioned there about markets heating up, and certainly the ammonia market has been absolutely on fire so far this year. We've seen almost 500,000 tonnes of spot material sold for Q1 loading, which is an incredible amount. And we've also seen ammonia prices, both sides of the Suez, jump around 15 to 20% on the spot market. This is mainly being demand driven. There's a lot of demand for ammonia right now from ACN and Capro producers in Northeast Asia, specifically Taiwan, Korea and China. There's a couple of reasons for this. One is there's been a lot of supply squeeze in the AG with plant issues, scheduled and unscheduled in Qatar and Saudi Arabia. At the same time, we've seen natural gas cuts in China. They've been diverted to, supplies have been diverted to residential customers rather than industrial users. So people have been needing to import more ammonia, and that as well has inflated prices. On the supply side, west of Suez, things have been a bit more back to normal. But again, we've seen prices increase 15 to 20% in the Black Sea, which is the Yuzhny Index. That's that's a component that's in most contracts around the world. So contract prices have been increasing for a lot of long-term buyers as well. And in addition, urea demand, that's been really strong. So ammonia producers who might churn out more ammonia rather than use it for urea, instead they've been diverting that to urea production. So that again has helped squeeze the supply on ammonia. But it's certainly been a very bullish start to the year for ammonia.
Thank you, Richard. And yeah, obviously you've mentioned urea, so that leads us nicely to Deepka. So how are things there?
Thank you, Melissa. So if ammonia is on fire, then the urea market is like in the midst of a volcano, because this big jump that we've seen, no one expected it. Everyone expected prices to firm, but nobody expected this swift rally, this big, big jump in price levels, which we haven't seen for a while. The only time in 2020 we saw prices increase was when India tendered. And this is the first time in more than a year that we are seeing this big jump in urea prices without a tender from India. So if you talk about Asian FOB levels, they are up about 23% since Christmas, so up more than $60 per ton, and that's an increase in about a month. Indonesia and Malaysia are the big producers in Southeast Asia, and price levels in both these countries are still lagging behind international levels. So there is still room for a further price increase. Why is this happening? This is because China is still producing at low rates. It's only producing at 50% of capacity because of gas cuts in the winter season. And at a time when China is away from the market, demand has really stepped up in the West. So we are seeing Europe and the US come in, step in to buy big quantities. And this has pushed up prices everywhere. And as a result, we're seeing prices in Asia increase as well. Plus, there is the likelihood, and I spoke about this earlier, that India may tender now again, maybe in late February or early March, which is again going to support prices. If you talk about Asian buyers, India is a market, they are very keen on making sure they have enough tons. So they're not as price sensitive. They are more sensitive about making sure that availability is ample in the country. So that's one. But if you look at buyers in Southeast Asia, they are still spooked by this big jump in price rally. And because of that, we are seeing only limited trades in Southeast Asia. Yeah, I mean, I think this market is is expected to keep being as active as it is now, maybe till February, March, even April. Urea at the moment looking very strong.
Okay, thanks, Deepika. The high urea prices, how would you say they're impacting suppliers in Asia, Joson?
Right, so we heard about prices on fire, but unfortunately for producers in China, for melamine producers, prices are not exactly that. And because of that, they are suffering a little bit from poor margins. And producers do what they tend to do when there are poor margins, that is to cut rates. So they have been running at a lower rates in a bid to keep melamine prices supported. And I think it has worked somewhat, but melamine prices were not able to keep up with gains in a feedstock market in recent times, despite some recent drops in urea prices last week. As far as run rates go, at the start of December, we are looking at maybe 80% for melamine. The latest figure is around mid-60s% in China. Melissa?
Okay, thank you. And container shortages, a widespread issue for many products. How is that impacting export prices in Asia?
Well, high freight rates have impacted the melamine market, not just on pricing. Obviously, a lead time has gone up and many importers have to go into the market earlier than usual. I think some of them were probably talking about pre-Lunar New Year loading way back in end of December. But if you look at this from the pricing perspective, I think high freight costs can work both ways for either players, be it the buyer or the sellers, because at the end of the day, it's still a supply and demand situation that we need to be concerned with. In November, for example, spot melamine prices in FOB China went up quite a fair bit, and the freight cost was said to be one of the main reasons. Back then, it was a case of not able to get offers. But when the demand is slow, right about now, distributors or buyers would want to lower the FOB prices because they want to cover freight costs. So it kind of works both ways, Melissa.
Okay, thank you. Yes, in Europe, they've talked about the costs increasing about fourfold. So yeah, it's a big topic. And then moving on to demand. So Europe is still dealing with extensive COVID-19 lockdowns, but we've actually seen the DIY and the home improvement sector supporting melamine demand, particularly in 2020. A large portion of consumption is attributed to the wood-based panel industry for construction of kitchens, bathrooms, furniture, flooring. Yeah, I just wanted to know how demand is, Joson, before the Lunar New Year.
Well, this year, I think it's a little bit similar. At the same time, it's a bit different compared with the year before, because this year, Lunar New Year is one thing, but there's also increased coronavirus situation in China, especially in the Hebei region. So there's been some debates in China what this combination mean. I mean, this combination of Lunar New Year as well as the virus situation. Truth is, no one knows for sure. In recent times, there were more cases, as I mentioned, in the Hebei region. So if the central government in China successfully convinced people not to return to their hometown this Lunar New Year, some people theorize that maybe restart can be fairly quick compared with the previous year. On the other hand, there were also some stories that certain downstream units have already shut for holidays. So if the virus situation were to worsen, there could be a period of quarantine for out-of-province workers returning back after the holidays, along with various logistic controls for various goods. So that could in fact point to a delay. So whichever way things might go, it has kept buyers on the sidelines, which obviously is not good for demand, Melissa.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, so Dennis, thank you for joining. And yeah, we just wanted to look at what's happening in the US now. How's supply at the moment?
Well, supply in the US is quite tight at the moment, although the situation has improved a little bit since October and November. The one thing that is important to note is that there is a scheduled planned turnaround that's ongoing right now in the US that began in mid-January. And it's expected to end in about a week. This is at Cornerstone's facility in Waggaman, Louisiana, which is close to New Orleans. And it began around the 10th of the month and is expected to end pretty much at the start of February. So that's something that is causing some tightness in supply and could into mid-February. But otherwise, the situation is beginning to recover as the European outages are not causing as much of an issue in the U.S. But one thing that is important and is related to the supply situation is that the demand for melamine was stronger than a lot of players expected in the U.S. at the start of Q1. Q2 and Q3 are usually stronger periods for demand, and that's expected to hold true. Now, one thing that I wanted to mention, and it's not involved in our assessment of prices, because we don't assess the Latin American prices the way that we do with the domestic prices, but because of the container shipping shortages and the skyrocketing of shipping prices, in Latin America, some of the prices have gotten even higher than the assessed range in the U.S. because of the shortage. It's a more import-reliant economy, and this has had impacts that haven't been as strong as in the U.S., which has the cornerstone domestic production.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. And the U.S. experienced very strong increases for Q1, as we saw in Europe as well.
Yes, I believe that whenever we do the currency conversions, the quarterly increases were very, very similar between the U.S. and Europe. In the U.S., at least, this was one of the very highest price increases really in the past decade. Whenever the initial price increase was introduced in Q4 by Cornerstone, some market players were surprised because of the extent and even how large the increase was in Q4. But pretty quickly, the surprise turned to a general belief within the market that the price increase nominations would be implemented at a large scale.
Yes, I think that's the same in Europe. There was a strong target announced at the beginning of discussions, and then as time went on, everyone saw triple digit increases across the board. And you mentioned turnarounds, so there's one in Q2 April time, so we'll have to see how that impacts things. So thanks Dennis, and thank you everyone else for joining and sharing your views, and thank you for listening.